You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today we have with us Aaron Pontius and Bradley Mercer. Aaron pastors in Missouri, really close to the University of Missouri. Bradley's also there working with international students, and they're coming to talk to us today about what we can do to reach international students who, in many cases, are at our back door. So, Aaron and Bradley, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
The pleasure.
So, if you're a listener, you have probably heard the first three podcasts. And if you haven't, I encourage you to go back and listen to that. There's actually five levels that the international or the Reaching College Students Task Force has developed where churches can get involved if they've got a college that's in their community. And so if you'll remember, if you've not heard those podcasts, nearly 1 million international students are here in the United States. The top countries are often countries that we can't go to, we can't send missionaries to, so like China. We also think about India. But these people are leaders who will then go back often to their countries and be people of influence. And so really, Aaron and Bradley, you all are the leaders in this on the cutting edge. We've got another podcast that we've done with Tyler Penn that hopefully people have listened to. Y'all are the cutting edge of trying to reach this population with the gospel. So tell us a little bit about your heart, how you've got into this, and then we'll go through and talk about what level four of engagement of international students is and what churches can do. How did you guys get started in this?
Sure. I'll start, Bradley. That's okay. Well, let me give you a background in my life. I was in student ministry for 15 years. And so I don't think that's a requirement to have a heart for international students, but I just have a heart for college campuses and things like that. I think the Lord has just kind of shaped me that way. But it started when I moved here 2 years ago in Columbia, Missouri, from Nashville to become lead pastor here at Rejoice Church. And we're about 5 to 7 minutes from Mizzou. And it's very close. And just driving by every single day, almost on a daily basis, just seeing this massive university where, I mean, there are many, many students there, not just internationals, but just nationals, internationals, all over the place. And just feeling a burden and not feeling like I had the margin or the time that I wanted to invest there, not only as a pastor, but even as a husband and a father and those things too. And just the Lord has just been convicting me for quite some time of how can we get our foot in that door. And so just been praying about it. And then just kind of approached Bradley, who I knew Bradley from Nashville, and he and I worked together in ministry and just asked him to start praying. Like what could God do with this? And the Lord started opening that door and that ball started to roll. And I can fill in the details in a second, but I just want to give Bradley a second to jump in here too. But it was mostly the burden that I think many pastors, including myself, have for those major universities if they're in close proximity. And it's just that overwhelming feeling of where do I start? How do I start? And how do I find the time to do it? That's the thing that I think started the burden of reaching out to Bradley, and I'll let Bradley talk from there.
So you've got a major university, really bigger than most towns in America. So many international students there. And so you started reaching out to Bradley. And Bradley, really your first kind of ministry away from when you were in college. What kind of got you on this road?
Yeah, I would say it's been a lot of people like Aaron being in my life or speaking into my life at the right time. I've had a heart for missions and for unreached people for a long time. And ever since probably my second year of college is whenever I really started to feel a conviction towards unreached people. And I've been on different missions trips with to Cuba with one organization and then to Japan through CMP. And I've just had experience with a lot of different cultures. I've even been with a different Native American Native American cultures across the country. So just, I have a heart for unreached people. And a lot of that, my first senior year, because it took me 5 years to finish, and there's no shame in that to those that it took more than 4 years, but it took me 5 years to finish school. And my first senior year was just filled with a lot of praying Like, God, I've had all these experiences, but I don't know exactly where you're leading me. And through that same time, I was going through the church planting residency that Aaron was leading at TDF, the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville. So that whole year was a lot of praying, and to what seemed like a lot of praying without answer, because no doors were opening. And I didn't really have any idea what I was going to do, knowing that I was about to finish school with all the experience that I had. And then after Aaron transitioned to Columbia, somebody else took over the residency, but it was probably, I would say, a couple months after the residency had ended that I get a text from Aaron, and he said, "Hey, can we talk to her, pray through something along those lines." And I was like, "Oh man, this guy, he wants me to be his youth pastor, because he just moved up there. It's a small church. He's going to ask me to be his youth pastor." But I mean, I was still willing to accept that call, you know, just to hear him out. And then he throws this curveball at me, like, "Hey, we have international students here, and yes. there's a great opportunity here for missions." And I was like, I told Aaron, I'd begin to break down and cry, because it's like I said, like, it was a whole year what seemed like unanswered prayer to me. And it took a lot of patience, but that's kind of how it got started with me. And the whole international student ministry thing is still relatively new to me, and I had not even thought about it up until that point. So then we really started to begin praying through and thinking through what that would look like, and now I'm here, so.
That's great. So you had a heart for missions. You'd been on mission trips, and then you realized, wow, I can meet a lot of those folks right there in Missouri. And youth pastoring and all that's important, but this is a way really to do mission work, because you've got folks who've never heard the gospel, that come from a whole different culture. And it was good for you, Aaron, really to see that. You know, if we could have somebody that this is their thing, that's really where you were coming from, isn't it?
Yeah. And I want to give a shout out to Steve Reeves. He's the director of missions for the state of Missouri too. Okay. Like he and I, he kind of planted that thought in my heart of just like, man, what if we can get someone to serve not just the campus, but the internationals at the campus. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, that's awesome. And so it kind of just started that. And the Lord, I think, just began to kind of orchestrate mm-hmm. things. And Bradley was someone that the Lord laid in my heart. And we look back now and see how God kind of had his hand in all of that. So it's cool.
Great. And we should say Steve's a former missionary. And so he's there working on the ground in Missouri and trying to help out. You go have something really happening at Rolla, which Steve's had a big part of. And listeners may say, well, I can't hire a IS missionary. What we're about to talk about is not for everybody. And that's why we've got five different podcasts talking about different ways, different levels of engagement. But this could be for some folks that are listening to us today. So talk a bit about what we mean by level four engagement. We talked about level one with Kurt. We've talked about going farther, you know, where families in the church or people in the church begin to invite folks over, do hospitality and so forth. But really level four is going into is really stepping up a notch, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think what level four really is about, and I'm glad you specified that, Brother Eddie, and that is that this might not be every person, every church's situation, but I do think it's a low hanging fruit option that we're not taking advantage of. And that is to use the sending agencies that we have and that God has blessed us with, and to partner. And because, you know, God has given our denomination men and women who have strong faith, who love the Lord, who love the nations, who also have, over the course of time, I mean, nothing's perfect because we're always growing and learning, but over the course of time have developed vetting processes and I think have gotten better and better over the years. And to let them do what they're really good at and gifted to do, to help partner with local churches who have access to international people groups. And that's what we did. And so when we started talking with Bradley, I knew that Bradley had a heart to serve. So that I think it starts there. Like God gave us a person in my mind that I already had a connection with, that I knew had a heart to serve and had a heart for nations. And it started there. But I also know that we have sending agency that has the same thing and wants to get people, that has a heart to serve and a heart for nations on the grounds to do things. And so started with Bradley, hey, let's start praying about what this could be. And if it's something that the Lord begins to open, let's, the next call is going to be, let's call I Am. And let's just see, hey, what could this look like? Because my first thought, Eddie, I think people listening probably would think the same thing, is like, we can't afford to have another staff member. Mm-hmm. And like, at the time, that was us too. And it was like, well, we have missionaries we support. But what if this person, if it's Bradley, if it's somebody else, what if this person is someone that we support monthly, like he was our missionary, but was sent through the proper channels, who would have not just the local church support when they show up to be boots on the ground, but to have kind of that national support where people that they get exposed to through raising funds and raising awareness, but then also the wisdom of the leaders that can pour into him and make him better and strengthen him and encourage him. I just felt like it could be a win-win. Mm-hmm. And that's what we encouraged. That's what the Lord ended up opening up. And so Bradley went through the proper procedures, the vetting processes, he was approved. And so he began fundraising to as an international missionary on American soil, reaching international students. Mm-hmm. And I just think the Lord is in that. And I think there's opportunity. I think there's more of those opportunities than I think we've been approaching. And I'm hoping that this can be the beginning of what that could look like for some people.
So someone's listening. This is like, how many international students do they have at the University of Missouri?
It's around 3,700 right now.
Okay, 3,700. And so you've got international students there and you're like, well, I don't even have 3,700 students in the college close to me, or I don't even have a college within 15 to 20 minute drive. So one of the ways they can, you know, so they can't do something like level four, but they could support level four is what I hear you saying. And this is, you mentioned low hanging fruit, Aaron. So this is a way that we can reach students here in America that will then go back in most cases to their home country. And then you mentioned helping Bradley to be as effective as he possibly can be. And really, Bradley, what's happened is you've been vetted, as Aaron mentioned, and now you're raising funds and you're actually engaging these international students at the University of Missouri.
Yes, it's been a tremendous help to have Aaron and that church family beside me. You know, I've respected Aaron for a long time. I haven't told him that to his face, but I'm saying it now. I've respected Aaron and looked up to him for a long time. And to have Steve Reeves here, as passionate as he is about Columbia, but also just missions, it's been a great support. And I think the more I travel as from church to church to not only raise support, but raise awareness, people's eyes are opened up and they're like, man, this is a great opportunity. This is a great opportunity to have unreached people here, and for us to actually be reaching them is something that I can get behind.
So Bradley, you said initially that when Aaron reached out to you, you're like, hey, I don't want to be you didn't feel like you were being called to be a youth pastor. And so how is it that you're being prepared to do what it is exactly that you are doing? What kind of special training have you received to get you ready for this? Because it's a different kind of situation.
Yeah. So I would say the most training that I've had is just, you know, the different experiences and different trips that I've been on with, I mean, CMP was a huge part in that. Mm-hmm. I got to be on an internship in Tokyo, Japan with Hope Alive Church. And a lot of my conviction and my passion for reaching unreached people came from my experience with Hope Alive and that phenomenal work that they're doing there. And that I would say that's probably prepared me the most. And just being in student ministry for a long time and just being as open and as you know, extroverted as I am, just willing to talk to anybody, it's super helpful too.
That's good. And so really you've had to learn how to work with people from different cultures. What would be like the top, is it China or India, the top students there at University of Missouri as far as international?
I would say the most representation is China, but as far as my personal experience, I've had more exposure to Indian, to the okay. Indian culture.
Very good. Very good. And so that's just a different, that is part of the different skill set that you're developing. than working like with an American college student and so forth. And so that's part of what makes this a unique kind of special program, isn't it?
Yeah. I want to say too, like, this is, I mean, if you get approved to go to a certain country, you're there to focus on that culture. But here it's like, you got to be culturally sensitive to many, like talking Pakistani, Middle Eastern, Japanese, Chinese, Indian, you know, all the different things. And I don't think, honestly, Eddie, I don't think there's any amount of preparation can prepare somebody for something like this. You just got to be willing to do it.
Yeah.
And be read up and willing to just take that next step and be willing to serve, you know? So
absolutely. That's good.
I think that's the biggest part. And I'm learning so much, so much.
I'm sure you are. So, yeah. So, like, you've got Saudi Arabia, you mentioned Pakistan, and you're trying to reach all of them. It's in one spot, in one place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all here.
So I know we've mentioned this before on the podcast that there's a survey that has been sent out. So our state leaders have tried to identify churches that are within a 15-minute drive of colleges. I want to encourage you to email Kurt@iam.org. If you'd like to complete the survey, we'll make sure we'd send that to you. We'd see if you're interested in levels 1, 2, 3, or this one, level 4. And that's a way folks can get involved. But Aaron and Bradley, I think another way they could get involved is if they've got a college in their backyard, so to speak, with a high number of international students, is level 4 for me? But also supporting people like Bradley and supporting folks like Tyler. And now we've got the Portels will be there at the University of Illinois as well. And we hope to see many, many more. But that's another way they can support. What are other ways they can support this particular ministry at level 4?
Well, I mean, all the things you said, I mean, for sure, like knowing who's out there that could still use financial support and prayer support in those kind of roles, like Bradley, like Tyler and the Portels and even what Farron and Josh are doing in Rolla. But I would say this too, man, the denomination is doing some really wonderful things when it comes to missions. And I don't think I can overestimate the value of E-Team, the value of CMP, because this often, in my experience in student ministry, this is often what I see happen. We see young people go through some of these wonderful programs and get exposed to the God, that God is beyond the Western side of the world. Like, to show up at a place and realize, oh, God's here too. And how that just revolutionizes young people's hearts. And they develop a passion for the nations. They develop a passion to see Christ be proclaimed through the nations. And sometimes when they come back, they're so passionate that we don't know what to do with that passion. Yeah. And we feel a little bit overwhelmed and burdened. Like, how do we direct them in a way that they can really pour that out? And sometimes unintentionally than not, because we're not sure what to do with them next as ministry leaders, that passion can slip away. And sometimes it can be reallocated towards something that really it's not good for them or you know, whatever it might be. And so I would say, if you're at a place, you're listening to this, and maybe you're close to a university, maybe it's not a major university, but there's even a small amount of international students or something like that, but you have young people in your church, and get them exposed to the world through things like E-Team, Truth and Peace, and CMP, its college mission program, because what God is going to do through those experiences, similar to what Bradley's story is he's going to expose them to his heart.
Yeah.
They have the exposure to the heart of God through international missions and through reaching the nations. I really think we can utilize that as ministry leaders to launch them out and say, hey, how can I help you find a passion? And I think we'd be surprised at how many young people, even as untested and as green as they might be, would absolutely fall in love with the fact that I can reach internationals in my town.
Yeah.
And even if they're in a volunteer role, but they can be the liaison between the local church and what God could possibly do and the international circles around them. I think the churches could be really just encouraged and feel like they're able to reach people that they were not able to reach before.
Yeah.
And, you know, something that I just know this is biblically true.
Yeah.
Is not everyone's going to be called. Not everyone's going to be called to go to these places, but every follower of Christ is called to care.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to care. And if we care, we can really encourage the younger generations. And it doesn't have to just be the younger generations, but people to be exposed to greater things and bigger things in them. And I think God uses that. And we have to be experts as ministry leaders to know how to stoke that flame and just push them towards the right channels. So yeah, support. So long answer, but support people like Bradley, support people like the Penn, support people like the Portels. They need it.
Yeah.
But also look for opportunities that you can get your people in front of the right kinds of people to develop a heart for that stuff too.
And that's really what happened with you, Bradley, isn't it? You went on some of these trips, you're exposed to the residency there at TDF, and voila, here you are.
I wanted to say too, I don't know how much of a following you have with people my age listening to this. But if you're listening to this and you've been on a trip and you've had those experiences, I know you're coming back with that passion that Aaron has talked about. And I felt that. I came back from Hope Alive and I was like, man, I'm going back to Japan. I'm going. And that was it. But then all these opportunities opened up, and for a long time, like, I was kind of closed off to it because I was set going back to Japan, you know. And I'm not saying it's God has shut that door. Maybe that door will open back up in the future. But I just want you to realize, like, if you're listening to this, don't close that door to your own town. You can be active here for the gospel. And not only can you be active, but I think with the different exposures that you'll have, different cultures and all the world popular religions going on, it'll give you a much, much deeper appreciation for who Jesus is in your own heart. So I encourage you to just don't stop. Don't stop with your passion to go across the world. I'm saying you should keep praying with that. Keep praying to go across the world, but it's all here.
Come to us. So
don't lose that.
Yeah, the world is, if you live in the right place, the world is in your backyard. And so what you're saying is be alert to what you have and take advantage of that, right?
Yeah.
Well, you guys, you have shared some really powerful information. I think you've given us all something to think about. I do want to mention a little bit about, you mentioned E-Team. We've got a study that it's in one magazine that's probably out now when you get this podcast, where we found 99.25% of all of the young people that followed up in the survey that did Truth and Peace, E-Team, CMP, or CTS were going to church. And then 87% of them are involved in ministry in some way. We don't mean they're pastors, but they're doing activities. They're leading worship. They're doing things in their church. So exactly what you guys mentioned, we see that. Sometimes they told us about how E-Team or how CMP, College Mission Program, impacted them. So our listeners, we encourage you, send your kids to that. Kids, we encourage you to go. It'll change your life. And one other thing, if you're an adult and you're listening, check out the HANA Project. That's another way of being involved in a short-term way. And there's just something about being in a different environment that changes you. And then when you come back, you're more aware, oh, we have people here from India too, or we have people here from Japan as well. And it does some wonderful things. So we good job on sharing that with us today. Thank you so much, Aaron and Bradley, for spending this time with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet, buddies. We want to thank you all as well. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today. Please take this podcast, share it with someone that would benefit from it. Remember, every little thing we do, it really does count. It really does matter for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want to learn more about this? We encourage you to email Kurt Holland, kurt@im.org. If you forget that email, you can always email us at questions@nafwb.org about any of these projects, and we'll try to get you in touch with the person that can help you out. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today.